May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384.
Thank you. Let us read together from the 53rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, the first of Peter chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 53, the first of Peter chapter 5. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, nor there was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. But thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We turn to the first of Peter, chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. O Lord, once more we seek the mercy seat, and we would plead that precious blood sprinkled upon it, Lord, and we desire it to be sprinkled upon our hearts and consciences in coming to the throne of grace. We would make thy mercy our plea. We do need thee, Lord, to come and deliver us from all form without the power. All that which is right in its place, and yet we need thee, Lord, to show us, reveal to us, or to cleanse us well in the precious blood of atonement. Lord, remember us now as we come, and we feel, O Lord, it to be a very solemn thing to approach unto thee. Lord, we seek to sanctify this service, or be in thy hand, and Lord, there may be a preparation at the throne of grace. Come, Lord Jesus, be with poor sinners. Stand not at a distance. Come, draw near. Come by the blessed Spirit and direct us unto that place where grace abounds, to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. We would plead that worthy name, be found looking unto it, looking unto it, looking unto Jesus. Lord, do grant that sweet liberty to know, Lord, that thou art with us. Enlarge our coast. Grant, O Lord, that deliverance from sin and self and Grant to us, Lord, we pray, a teachable spirit. Give us not, Lord, to be without the teaching of thy word, but may it also be in our hearts. Give us not, Lord, to think that we need not thy word, but we need the same word written in our hearts. Lord, do bless this house of prayer. Remember the church, remember the deacons. Lord, we do desire that thou art bless the young and be round about them, Lord, and do help them day by day. And remember those at the Sabbath school and also those that are older with responsibilities. Lord, do grant thy gracious help. We think again of the aged and the afflicted in years. But also, as the a grasshopper becomes a burden. Do hear prayer, Lord, that thou draw near. Come, Lord, and open hearts like Lydia's. And also that there may be something said, Lord, to thy honour and glory. And we do pray that thou grant us the root of the matter, each one. But we do pray, Lord, that thou art hear the cries that go up. Lord, do grant to us answers of peace. We do seek, Lord, a thankful heart from murmur free. Lord, to praise thy name, but how many burdens there are. Lord, do come. Help us to thank thee as we ought. But Lord, do attend to our souls that needs the darkness of mind. Lord, the many onslaughts of Satan and the need for the lifting of the cloud. Leave the Lord to come and shine with light divine and open thy word, Lord, and do grant to us thy mercy in the person, the very person of Christ Jesus. Compassionate our souls. Lord, do come. Grant us yon lovely man. And do grant us, Lord, we pray, that grace to live as we seek to die. Lord, to be found amongst those that would see Jesus every day and would look above all things here. But, Lord, we pray that thou would increase our faith. Lord, we do desire that thou to open the book. Thou grant, O Lord, the spices and the truth of that sweet word in our hearts and among us. Thy name may be as ointment poured forth. Remember those that may have to say, but him we saw not. And yet thy word is not bound. Lord, do help us in the evening hour. And do come, Lord, and grant to us those living views of Jesus and his word. And do help us from on high. Lord, do come and remember each case and each need. Do help us, Lord, to mingle with our petitions that thankfulness, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We desire, Lord, that thou would remember our poor land and hear prayer that is offered up. And still we desire to seek for that increase of thy hand and goodness toward us. Now, Lord, we'll preserve and keep us, and do arise, and may the Lord appear. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt grant us now that help to seek, Lord, that thou wilt not leave us, but do come. Come, Lord Jesus. But oh, the unworthiness and the great need we have, Lord, that thou wilt forgive. We feel, O Lord, our need. Not leave us to many words, but grant, O Lord, that there may be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand. Come, Lord, and use thy word. May it please thee, Lord, to teach us and guide us by the blessed Spirit, and leave us not, Lord, without application. Do come, may thy word run swiftly. May it meet the case, the needs that prevail. Lord, do come and grant to us some sweet renewings, and that great river may suffice for our sin and guilt. And that river of thy love and blood. We ask that thou hear us now, Lord, and be with us in the singing of thy worthy praises. And lift us up, Lord, and help us now. Forgive all amiss. Receive us graciously. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
In number 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn 761.
Thank you.
much dependence upon the help of God. I direct you to Psalm 55, the 55th Psalm. We read there from verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We did expect to seek help of God to continue. Indeed, much was not said at all this morning from the prophecy in Micah. But we're not our own. This word has come upon my mind, into my heart. May the Lord grant us some enlargement. It is a good text. I mean, to those that are burdened, those that are pressed down, and to those that need the burden bearer. Really, it is the burden bearer that we've tried to speak of this morning, who is of ancient days, whose goings forth have been everlasting, to be the burden bearer for his church and people, a wisely and wonderfully appointed before the church fell. And the great and glorious provision of God himself to get glory to his name and to grant to burdened souls the fullness of God, for all heaven holds good. This word really belongs to the Lord Jesus and those that are brought to him. And each and every one will have a burden. And they're also appointed a burden bearer. Blessed be God. The church of God are not without a burden bearer. Where would we be? The dear Redeemer is appointed for the burdens of sin and guilt of his church. And so he is revealed in the gospel as that great burden bearer. It's really as if the Lord shines into the heart of dear David when he seeks the Lord. He said, my heart is sore pain within me. Fearfulness and trembling come upon me. He said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. David is speaking often in this psalm of those inward exercises of mind and heart, making his petition known, or spreading it before the Lord. And it's as if I may say, that the Lord shines in his word. This beautiful word is spoken, no doubt, by David, but more especially the Spirit of God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I believe, friends, it is that wonderful appearing of the Lord to dear David. He was obviously in great trouble of heart. There were things that seemed to be surrounding him. Perhaps those enemies that we often read about. He speaks of one, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. And then this word seems to, as it were, spring up or be made known. I believe David felt it. There was a burden bearer. Really it is a word to his faith, isn't it? As if he was able to see far above those circumstances, things that surrounded him. Even in the morning at noon he said, I pray and cry aloud. It is a very good word. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want to speak, as God may enable me. Firstly, as we have hinted about this burden bearer. Oh, if ever there's a sweet truth that needs to be lifted up, it is that Christ is the burden bearer for his church and people. Let me speak as God may guide me. There are many things that may constitute burdens to the children of God. And it does seem right for me. I often try to find out those that do need the Lord and can hardly put into words what they feel. That they hardly dare presume to speak as if they are sanctified and they are able to draw down upon the sweet comforts of God's word, that they have these burdens. One of those burdens is it, experimentally, that's the burden of self. I don't want to dwell there over long. Is it not so? Those that Lord calls by grace divine, they're soon heard to say, oh, that I had not myself. Oh, this wretched self, the apostle speaks of it. Wretched man that I am. And is there not a sense and knowledge of that need of the Lord? Hardly can be put into words. But there's an aching void this world can never fill. And also there is that way in which God works gently sometimes, so that those that are brought to bow before him, they can hardly put into words how they feel, but they need the Lord to come and to remember them. Perhaps in the ways that God leads them, sometimes souls have been quickened into life and they scarcely know what the matter is, but burden they are. The hymn writer speaks about it. Like that weary dove, that I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. There are those that are weary in seeking for him and waiting upon him. There are those that cannot seem to find anything to settle on their comfort. But this is a heavenly word. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I would notice it in this way. It is a gift. I think it's been spoken of as a gift, that burden of the Lord. It is that which God gives that he bids approach him with. He doesn't send burden sinners' back. Father, he draws them. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Now we want to come especially in the word of his grace to that great burden that is known sooner or later. Lesser measure, soon to be a greater measure. The burden of sin and guilt. Woe is me, for I am undone. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There is an imparting of that light and knowledge that we have sinned against truth, against light, against God, or against the very person, the dear Redeemer. Well, that's a guilt, isn't it? Sin against the burden bearer, so it is. Going as far as we can away from the burden bearer, feeling no need, content with the things of this life and ourselves, how we may appear before men, far better to concern ourselves how we may appear before the Lord. I do speak in every sense that we may be able to live in sobriety and godly fear. There is then a very great burden, really, we know not much of compared to him, the burden bearer. What loads of sin on him were laid. Friends, scarcely can we comprehend what he endured, the burdens that came upon his holy soul, especially in Gethsemane. Pressed down, he speaks of it. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Bowed down greatly, my thoughts went to that glorious man in all his suitability that must be made the burden bearer. With no sin of his own, but so willingly would he bear the burdens of his church and people, his loving heart engaged to be their surety. Yeah, there's something, friends, I've never seen before, and that is in weakness. This one that was crowned with a crown of thorns. We have it so much in the Gospels. That went forth in the judgment hall, even unto Gethsemane, in weakness. And then the burdens increased. And the sorrows pressed his holy soul. And this one was prostrate in the garden. Oh, the burden bearer. Do we know anything of him, friends? That was found to be that one, was made known to be that one that must be the burden bearer by the Father's stroke, really by a Father's love, that ever sin should be imputed unto him, and he should bear under that great burden. Why, the wonders of his love, we tried to speak a little of it, we hardly were able to speak much at all. Now, this is what is on my mind, friends, the willingness of the burden bearer. To suffer, to bleed and die, and also to take of that burden of sin and guilt and make it his own, that he would redeem and suffer in the sinner's place. Why, that's love, isn't it? If I may say, it's the love of the burden bearer, the one in our text. That one that we have spoken of so much here by David, of David's greater son. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. We have tried to just speak just a few things, but there is then a vital truth of the enormity, the malignity of sin, which we do not know anything of by nature. And yet the Lord weighs his people down with a sense of their sinnership in so many ways. One may say, ah, it's my unbelief. Does that weigh you down? Can you be rid of it? Does it not return? Do you not find it attending day and night, perhaps? Or I don't use extravagant language, but perhaps in awakening hours. Or certainly as we go onward in life's journey. Oh, the dreadful plague and trouble, the pressing nature of that burden of unbelief. Does it afflict your soul? Or do you come and say, Lord, what can I do? Well, friends, there is a remedy. The Lord direct us to the burden bearer. Really, that is the great essence of the preaching of the gospel, is to find the burden bearer. The poor child of God pressed down, brought low, and feeling to be cut off. And the Lord uses things differently with some, but some have felt that they would never live to see the morning hour. And others have, like an attending dreadful malady, gnaws at their very soul. And they wonder where the scene will end. There is then a burden, and God makes it known in the hearts, and it is a terrible burden because it needs no other than the burden bearer. Now, we would seek to be rid of our burdens in the world and the pleasures of it. Some of us have gone a long way seeking to be delivered from convictions, I venture to say. Let me give you an example. When I was young and in my unregeneracy, I was in places I should never be. I used to look for the fire escape with a guilty conscience. Oh, I mustn't speak of myself, God forbid. But it's to give an illustration of how that burden may be a guilty conscience. I mean a quickened conscience. And it affects the soul of man. We've read a little in that wonderful chapter of the burden bearer. And in the place of his dear people, in their burdens. Surely he hath borne our griefs, said the prophet, under the influence of the Spirit, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, I want to notice the burden bearer. We haven't really got to it properly. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And I did think of that lowly Lamb of God being made the burden bearer. glorious truth, isn't it? A sufficiency there in the Lamb of God for the sins of his people. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, it's a sweet thought, friends, that not the great lion that is to be revealed, perhaps especially in the Revelation, but the lowly Lamb of God, that's the one, shall be the burden bearer of his church and people. God appointed, wonderfully suited in his humility and purity and the truth of him that the Lord put him to grief, the man of his right hand. Why, all to take away sin and to grant true deliverance from guilt, sin, that the guilt of sin and the awfulness of it. Why, it is beautifully set forth in the word that he is that burden bearer. Well, let me notice, friends, the things that he endured. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lamb of God put him to grief. He shall see of the travail of his soul. And friends, we are so shallow feelingly. Oh, this glorious truth to poor burdened souls, there is one appointed of God for the burdens they have, especially for sin and guilt. Then it is a word in the gospel, isn't it? As if there is that certain sound to it, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Well, it is that one, friends, that appoints a burden bearer that alone can make those tidings reach so deeply. Those that labour and are struggling and cast down and guilty under the sentence of death. There is a beautiful thought, friends, this word is one of life, one of truth. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. There's a sweet hymn that comes to mind. Very precious to the Church of God. Now I see what e'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. Cast, he said. Or it can be said, roll thy burden on the Lord. It is enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. We do not preach the hymn book, but you know those lines are very precious. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. The Lord send it, friends, to burden soul. Oh, the sufficiency in his word, the truth of it. You know, God is round about his people. And he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And he shall sustain thee. You will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now there's another burden I want to notice. Very much upon my heart. And that is the Lord appoints in burden bearers. Thought about it so much. In his hand. For the desolations of Jerusalem. We read of Nehemiah and others too that were burden bearers, and we thought of that word about it concerning the great work of the burden that God appoints to hearts, friends, that are prepared of God. And they're brought to see desolations. And, you know, it's all of God's grace, isn't it? Let me point you to it. How the Lord appointed Nehemiah. He said, "You see the distress that we're in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Now, my mind has gone to the way in which the Lord raised up Nehemiah, and those also in his hand. He told them of the good hand of his God upon him. There's also the king's words. And they're the best words. He had spoken unto them, and they said, it's of the Lord, isn't it? And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work or this burden. Friends, I'm sure Zion needs these burden bearers in God's hand. But they murmured the enemies and said, "What will ye do? Will ye rebel?" Then answered I them and said, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. We, his servants, will arise and build." Something very precious about that. In God's hand, to be burden bearers of those that should seek the Lord to arise and put their shoulders to it. Well, I don't speak wrongly, friends. It's the way in which God meets with his people. Causes them to seek to know and do his will. You read in the last verse in Nehemiah 2, very solemn word, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we as servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." Some may say, "Well, that cuts me off." Well, let me just say, friends, those that have no portion, nor right, nor memorial, know not the burden bearer. They know not that heaven is irrevocable. For they are such as are left in nature's darkness. Oh, God forbid we should be left like that. Well, there's something upon my mind, really. Cast thy burden, everyone, on the Lord, especially regarding the true building up the walls of Jerusalem. There is a burden God puts in the hearts of his people, and he brings it to light and brings it forward. God is the author of it. Now I want to pass on. There's another burden I want to touch upon. And more than one, but I think of that burden of fear. That great fear, lest we should presume. That fear that lays so heavy in the soul. And friends, how it weighs down, doesn't it? The Lord's people. What fears arise? Those that have been blessed of God are not beyond slavish fear. They're not left in it. Perhaps it's a word in season. Those that have a burden, they feel to need the Lord to relieve their guilty fears. Friends, who can rightly speak of the fears of the Lord's people? They run deep. Needs the burden bearer. One to grant that forgiveness and acceptance. And then the smile of God upon them, not because they are anything but the Lord to shine. And then their burdens are lightened. They looked unto him and were lightened. Those that know the difference between being left themselves and those that are brought unto him. Now they have burdens. Fill their hearts. It's not the burden of the world to have more of the world, is it? It's rather this. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, to know that sweet increase of living faith. And for something to be known, that instead of this dreadful bondage, dreadful hardness of heart, are there any like that? Well, that's a burden to the living. They groan under it. Well, they feel to need one to come and relieve them of that burden, if so be it may please the Lord. Now, I just touch upon a few things. There's another burden I want to speak about. And that is, we need to be careful in speaking of the Lord's word to be a burden. And yet it is a burden. Let me explain. It's that right sense of it, isn't it? To need more grace. And to need the Lord to grant that help of God and to be the burden bearer to his dear people as they venture on. Venturing souls need a burden bearer. They're soon set back, aren't they? By the great adversary. Their wicked hearts also militate against what God sets up. What a conflict, and how many burdens there are. Am I his or am I not? Now, where I'm coming to is this. I need the Lord to help me. There is a time when the Lord sets apart poor sinners be in his hand. There's a burden of the ministry. I want to be ever so careful because I'm not one to try and weave things in and out. I just mention it. There is something the Lord gives to his people, and that is the burden given to this end, that the Lord might be lifted up, his truth might be known, And I believe I knew this burden before I was sent to preach. Oh, there is that love to soul. There is that need for the Lord to appear, and the heart goes out. Now we need to be careful not to think we're anything, but it's something God puts right in the heart of his servant toward his holy name. It's holy, isn't it? It's that burden for souls and the burden for his glory. And you know, there's something I must speak about, and that is when these things are in the light of eternity and the shortness of time. And the Lord is pleased to grant his word. It was so with me once. No, I mustn't speak of myself. But there's something the Lord grants, and it needs the Lord to prove it. The Lord gave me a word, I've often spoken about it. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach you what thou shalt say. What a heavenly word, and I thought it would be fulfilled in just a few weeks, and then it was 13 years. Time came when God brought it to pass. That I, and they said, what, him? To speak his name. Not without the preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue, which is from the Lord. Something we can only just speak about as God being the author of it. This burden may come and go. Sometimes we may pray to be delivered from it. And be glad when the burden's lifted. And feel to go more smoothly, but then it returns. What a word it is. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Upon him. May he that gives the burden bids his dear people to cast their burdens. That's why we read that sweet chapter, so well known. Casting all your care upon him. I think it's so often repeated, isn't it? And yet how needful it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, it's as if, until he exalts his dear people, let them cast their cares upon him. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you so much in that. He that has preserved his people, and brought them hitherto, and taught them to cast their cares, to bring it unto Jesus. We try to do so. Spread it before the Lord. And they went and told Jesus when John Baptist was taken from him, and the disciples came and went and told Jesus. I haven't quite got the words exactly, have I? But that is the sweet truth of it. To cast the heavy burden. The great trial of it. The burden that God has given. Now, let me be clear. Firstly, it's to be cast upon him. Forever. Could be anything spoken. There is that need for the Lord to grant a word about it. I think it's right, friends, that none should go without a word from the Lord. Now I stand to be corrected. I must pass on. I haven't really got far. And he shall sustain thee. Just keeps his people from sinking. When sinking makes them swim. Well, that's applied to faith, isn't it? And sustains his people. Wonderful word. It was so with Noah and those eight in the ark. And God's purposes there. He sustained the ark. Although the waters increased, and the tops of the mountains were not seen yet, he sustained Noah and that little ark. Beautiful type of the gospel. Friends, the Lord sustains his people. He sustains the church in the wilderness. He is near. May the Lord grant that. Out to cast and continually cast our burden upon the Lord. Some say, well, it's an easy thing. You know, I've said again and again, it needs a heart upright. I'm sure of it. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that really speaks of the way in which the Lord binds his people up with the Lord. There's a hymn about it, isn't there? He binds these hearts together and they're all is bound up with the Lamb. They're all is nothing worth. We never suffer the righteous to be moved. It speaks, doesn't it, of the opposition of Satan and guilt. Whatever may come, the Lord sustains his people. Do you believe it? He brought you through. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope in thy good pleasure, safely, and so come to heaven at last. Now, friends, it's a wonderful truth. The Lord's sustaining his people in temptation, in the furnace of afflictions, in the troubles and trials, and oh, the hidings of his face, the acute burdens there are. Lord, do appear. It is time for the Lord to work. The Lord to soften hearts and grant that there may be a sweet knowledge of the burden bearer, so that we may be able to speak of him as the burden bearer. Oh, this glorious one that should bear our burdens and carry us through. Cast on me, said thy care, when I must leave. Perhaps a few things, but you know that's really what the Lord does to his people. Causes them to cast their cares upon him from the day of regeneracy to the end of their pilgrimage. But they're always having to cast their cares upon him. To whom else can we go? Sometimes there are those very great burdens, neither know we what to do. Casting my burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, what does it mean? It's to be moved from their God. God ne'er loses a saint. Well, that's a wonderful truth, friends. God is not one to cast off his people. He sustains them and brings them rightly to know the burden bearer and their hearts bound up in this. How they would love him. How they would exalt him. How they would be in his hand. And friends, a very solemn matter to have to stand, having done all to stand. And then God alone can fulfill the great desires of man. And there are many things that need to be proved from heaven, that casting all your care upon him, cast thy burden. The Lord send it in each heart so that truly, justly, rightly has commission to cast their burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Well, there's much unsaid, but what a sweet text. I want to just say that that was the text given me my friend Mr. Pont when I joined the church. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, how we need it. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's leave a few remarks. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £812.20, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting, and Mr. Field will also preach, God willing, on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 716. Dear dying friend, we look on thee and own our foul offences here. We built thy cross on Calvary and nailed and pierced thy body there. Hymn 716. The Lord help us to sing, duly considering these things.
O Lord, do forgive all of this, morning and evening. And do grant us the convoy of thy love and mercy, and do appear. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us. Amen.